Thank you for the smiles. I really appreciate those. It makes me feel a little more comfortable up here. Welcome. Good to see you all. What a beautiful morning we have to come to church in, huh? Beautiful sunshine. Get up this morning and the Lord's already given us a blessing. I think that's pretty good. You walk outside and you see this beautiful sunshine and it feels so warm until that cold wind hits you. But you know what? It probably won't be about 3 or 4 weeks. We'll be wondering, where did these cool mornings go to? Because life continues on. Things change. I want to open this morning with the second Samuel, 22nd verse. Do a little reading here for you. I have several different subjects, and I couldn't boil it all down to one, but it's going to be about blessings and about trust and about love and a few things like that. But I want to start with the 25th verse. And it says, David speaking here. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt be merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power and maketh my way perfect. And you'd all be interested to know that he's the guy that's on our side when we go to him and we ask for help. And this is just after David slew the big giant Goliath. And this is a portion that I wanted to read out of here. He did achieve quite an accomplishment right there. Because Goliath was facing down a whole army. And nobody was strong enough or had enough desire or felt like they had enough direction to get up and confront the person in a manner like David did. But David was led by the Lord. And that's the difference. He came to battle with the Lord and on his side. And in his heart. And that's what we need to do every day, is to keep the Lord on our side and in our heart. See, God sees us for what we are. If we're doing wrong, he'll know that. And if we're doing right, he'll also recognize that. Because he always sees us. He's always there. And David said, God is my strength, and he makes my way perfect. And he can do the same for us. But we have to trust our hearts to him. He makes certain we know which way is the right way by the examples that he has set. And Jesus has shown us by the examples that he has shown us in years past. I'd like to go over now to Mark. This is a little different subject here, but how many of you have ever been in a storm on the ocean or on a sea? They're pretty tough. There's one back there. They're pretty tough to say you're really comfortable in when you're out there and the waves are 30, 40, 50 feet high and you're in a little ship that's maybe 600 feet long. That sounds big. But the people I'm going to read to you about here was in a much smaller craft in the same kind of conditions. And something miraculous happened there. I want to start in the fourth chapter. I want to start with the 35th verse. I think. Where is it? 36, 35. Yeah, I want to start with the 35th. I had a mark down here for the 37th, but I changed my mind. It says, and the same day when When the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. This is Jesus speaking. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And their ships weren't 600 feet long. They might have been 60 feet long, maybe 75. And they were also with him other little ships. And see, the little ships is a giveaway. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he said, and he was in the hinder parts of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They weren't perishing, they were there. But this is what they presented to him. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obeys him? I was going through some stuff, and I found a little note here I want to share with you. It's about a painter. His name's Rembrandt. But this is about one of his paintings. It says, Rembrandt did a painting which portrays the biblical story of the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and that's what I just read. Perhaps some of you have seen this portrait, or painting, excuse me. The little ship's occupied by Jesus, and the apostle is being hit by huge waves. And you can imagine, if I was in a ship that was 600 feet long and these waves were 30 feet high and we were being tossed around like a cork on a pond, you can imagine what they were like. You can feel the shudder running through the whole boat. The storm is all around. The rigging is loose and blowing in the wind, and the disciples all panic-stricken. They were all frightened, but they had no reason to be. Who were they with? It's marvelous to realize that in the midst of this storm, the panic and the fear and danger, the disciples had to awaken Jesus to tell him about it. And it wasn't because he didn't care because he was indifferent. It was because he had such trust in God. That's Jesus, had such trust in God. He had sunk himself down to sleep He had sunk himself down so deep into the being of God that for that period of refreshment that he was asleep. He was sleeping right through the storm. He was comfortable because he knew his Father was there with him to protect him. And the writer says, you can look at this painting and say unto yourself, I've got to learn that from him to have complete trust in God. And that's what the disciples lacked, was complete trust in God. They were afraid that boat was going to turn over, or ship was going to turn over and kill them all. And they didn't want to die. They didn't know how fortunate and how blessed they were to have the companion in the ship they had. So trust is something we all need to work on. We need to place our trust where it should be, where it needs to be. We need to place our trust in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and they will carry us through. I want to go over to the 10th chapter of Mark now. And this is another topic. This is where the little children were blessed. Says in the 13th verse, And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. He says, What are you doing bringing those children up here? Get them away. He don't want to be bothered with that. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, He shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. The Lord wanted to bless these children because they're probably the root of our salvation. They trust, when they trust somebody or something, they trust it completely. It's not a conditional thing with a little child. And when we say we trust God and we put our lives in His hands, we have to do that. We have to be willing to do that. It says, I got down here, Jesus said, let the children come unto me. It's just, it is to just as, such as these, the kingdom of God belongs. I assure you that whosoever does not accept the reins of God like a little child shall not take part in it. The childlike characteristics of the permeated Jesus' whole being was trust. Everything he did, his total lifestyle was based on a childlike trust, a childlike confidence, and a trust that he placed in his Father, God Almighty. And that's very, very true. I want to go over to the 14th chapter of Mark here, just a little bit. Sometimes our life kind of gets to be a burden to us, and we kind of get worn down, and we get busy, and things don't happen quite the way we'd like to have them. Well, we're not the only one that affects. But I'm going to read to you here a little bit from the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus and his apostles. I'm going to start with the 32nd verse. It said, and they came to a place which was Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, set ye here while I shall pray. And he talked with get this thing up just a little bit higher. Maybe I can read it. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Excuse me. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye, and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. That's very, very true. Jesus asked the Father to take the cup from him, because it was a load to him, it was a burden. He knew he had to bear it. And he knew he had desires that was different than his father's, but he said, what thy will be, not what my will be. The key to the kingdom is knowing that even in life's darkest moments, God will not abandon us. That God is 100% absolutely trustworthy all the time. Not 86%, not 12%, but 100%. Now, however painful life may become, we can be totally confident in the goodness of God to prevail. We may kind of lose sight of where we are from time to time. But you have to remember one thing. God's right there with you, standing right beside you. And he's going to help you over those hard bumps. I want to go over to Mosiah, if I can find it here. 2nd chapter. Page 220. I could give you the page numbers from my Bible, but I don't think they would relate. This is King Benjamin talking here, and I want to start with the 9th verse. It says, I say unto you that if you come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless powers and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even to the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. And says, I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which is prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, and which are, or which ever shall be, even to the ends of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. Now that covers just about everybody, I think. And there is none other salvation. There's only the one. Save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. We hear them, we study them, we talk about them, we read them. But do we live them? And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And there are some that I believe feel they're smarter than the Lord. They've tried to portray that in some of the acts that they have done in my lifetime. I haven't seen any yet that's made the grade, though, except the Lord. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, the hard part. If you believe all these things, see that you do them. Put your trust in the Lord that salvation might come. When we've come to the knowledge of God and what He holds in store for us, we should put all of our trust in Him. We need to keep His commandments and continue strong in our faith. And He will richly bless us. I want to go over to Alma for a minute. And it's chapter 17. It's on page 434. And this is where Alma is speaking to Helaman. It says, My son, give ear to my word and my words. For I swear unto you that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And I would that ye should do as I have done, in remembering the captivity of your fathers, for they were in bondage, and none could deliver them, except it was the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and He surely did deliver them in their afflictions. And now, O my son Helaman, behold, thou art in thy youth, and therefore I beseech thee that thou wilt hear my words and learn of me. For I do know that whosoever shall put his trust in God shall be supported in their trials and their troubles and their afflictions, and shall be lifted up at the last day. I would not that you think that I know of myself, not of the temporal, but of the spiritual, not of the carnal, but of God. For behold, I say unto you, if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But God hath by the mouth of His holy angel made these things known unto me, not of any worthiness to myself, for I went about with the sons of Mosiah seeking to destroy the church and God. But behold, God sent His holy angel to stop us by the way, and He did, and changed their hearts. God's all around. He's places you wouldn't even dream of being. He's there, and He's watching what's going on. He knows what's happening in our hearts. He knows what we're going to say before we ever say it. So we have to make sure what we do is right and proper. Not 50% right or 10% right or even 10% wrong. We need to make sure what we're doing is right, and that we are responsible people for what we say, and we're responsible for the people that we say it to. I'd like to go over to Mormon. Book of Mormon here. Mormon in the Book of Mormon. Fourth chapter. And I think it's on page 711. And this is on whoso believeth in Christ. You know, I never had any idea until I started looking up all of these references of how many times trust is mentioned, or trusting God is mentioned in the Scriptures. And it's eye-opening. It's mind-opening to realize that people have to be asked to put their trust in God. God is there. We know we can trust Him. I know I have, because He brought me back to life 2 times in 1 year. Sorry about that. Must be getting old. 83rd verse. And reason the reason why He ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief. Oop. Turn too many pages. And depart from the right way, and know not God, in whom they should trust. Behold, I say unto you, that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. You know, that's not just a little group. All doesn't count 347 people. It doesn't even count 347,000 people. All means everybody. He's given everybody that's ever been born in this world the same choices and the same opportunities that we have to accept God, to repent, and to be baptized, and hopefully to one day obtain eternal life with the Lord. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto His disciples, which shall tarry, yea, and also to all His disciples in the hearing of the multitude. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oop, I just read that. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And that's a long time. So if we live our life right and do the things that the Lord has told us to do, keep His commandments, we'll fit into that group. Let me see. I'm going to go to one of my favorite parts of the Scriptures, and that's the 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to start with the 28th verse. And read through the end of the chapter. And now we know that all things work together for the good of men, or for the good of to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. for whom he did foreknow, and also did predestinate to be confirmed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he did call. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We all know how strong God is. We know how powerful he is. And we know how merciful and loving he is. And if he's on our side, what do we have to worry about? If we put our trust in God, we don't have anything to worry about, because he's going to help you. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy street. It's not going to be a large dish of ice cream. It's going to have some lumps in the road. But he's there with you. Remember that. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us, who have separated us from the... Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Think about that question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then we'll hear what he asks. If I can find it here. Where'd it go? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecutions, or famines, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'll have to say amen to that, because I don't think there's anything I've ever seen that's big enough to separate me from the love I have for my God and Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'm almost finished. Let's go to the 9th chapter of Matthew. Got a couple of verses there I'd like to read. All of the reading and studying we do, and understanding the words that are written and the directions that we're given, this tells us a pattern we should be living in every day, of what we should be doing, to whom we should be doing, who we should be helping, and what we should be doing with our own lives. And that's necessary. But you got to remember that one part where you keep his commandments. And the 42nd verse says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So you want to live every moment of your life that way. I can tell you from past experiences, my daddy died in the wink of an eye. He didn't have a chance to say, whoops, I'm sorry, I repent, save me. He didn't say that. He couldn't say that, because he was hit with another boat and he wound up in the water. And he died. And I've seen people that have lost their lives just as fast in automobiles, buses, and airplanes. Think of all of the people that was in those hijacked airplanes, 2 years ago? September the 11th, 2 years ago. They didn't have a chance to do that. They had more of a chance than a lot of people do. But we need to always remember these words, and we need to live our lives properly and do the right thing. I'm not going to tell you what that is. The books are here. You've got two big records here to read in and just delve into and absorb, if you can, and remember. And my memory is not as good as it used to be, but I still remember that. But know this, that if the good man of the house knoweth in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So make ready, be ready, and stay ready. One other scripture here, and then I'll sit down and be quiet until lunchtime. I want to go over to the seventh chapter of Moroni. And I want to start on the 48th verse. This is another necessary part of what we need to do. We need to have in our life something that we need to not only read about, but something that we catalog and we put away and that we bring it out when we think it's needed. Faith and hope save, he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and the lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. What's charity? Somebody, anybody? Pure love of Christ. You bet it is. The pure love of Christ. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not. And these are telling us how we need to be. This is telling us how we need to be. Kind, and envieth not, and not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, and rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Do we all have charity in our hearts? If not, we should probably work on it a little bit. I thank you very much for your time and hope I haven't bored you too much.
Thank you, Warren. I would remind you of the schedule for today. Our fellowship luncheon, which is right after this service. The wedding anniversary reception for Warren and Fern from 2 to 4. Conference choir from 4 to 5:30. Prayer groups from 5:30 to 6. And the sermon this evening by our brother Donald Gill at 6:30. Let us complete our worship this morning with number 354, hymn number 354. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we again thank you for such a beautiful day, another day to worship Thee, to come to Thy house, and to learn of Thy Scriptures. We ask, O Lord, that you will go with us as we leave here to go to the luncheon and the downstairs, that you will bless the food that's prepared and bless the hands that prepared it. Go with all of the various activities throughout this day as we meet in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and give praise and thanksgiving to you. We would remember those that are on our prayer list, those we've mentioned this morning, particularly our brother John, who has returned from Honduras and is so ill. Also our brother Lauren and sister Elizabeth, that you'll be with them and raise them up. Go with us now in our daily warfare to serve thee, to be a light unto the world, giving you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're too big.